Welcome to episode number 44 of the Build From Here podcast. I'm very excited that you're here for this one. This is actually a follow-up podcast, and we're about to dive in. Before we dive in, I wanted to ask a request of you, for you faithful listeners out there. If you wouldn't mind, we would really appreciate this. Leave us a review on this podcast, whether you're Spotify, wherever you're listening to it, if it allows you to leave a review. That would just be a big help for us, and we would greatly appreciate it. We're, love doing these podcasts and, plan to bring you many, many more great episodes, over the coming year. So we're very excited about that. But, with that said, we're going to be following up with Brendan Jackson in this episode. I'm not going to go too much into it because we pretty much hit the ground running right away. But this is a really good one. Definitely want to take some notes here. There's some really big things. Like, honestly, it's things you might not think about when it comes to training that, honestly, what we cover in this podcast really can just, this could be the catalyst for you and your dog. If you're, especially if you're in a rut or if you're at a spot where you're really struggling with something, this is the episode for you. We really cover just a simple couple of ideas on how to work through things. So with that said, let's dive in.
You're listening to the Build From Here podcast, a podcast for the hunter and sporting dog enthusiast alike. Join your host, Joshua Parvin, as he interviews retriever owners and discusses the trials and triumphs that lead to a great gun dog. Build From Here is presented by Cornerstone Gun Dog Academy, online resources to help you train your retriever. Now, your host, Joshua Parvin.
Welcome to the Build From Here podcast. On this episode, we're doing another follow-up episode. We got CGA member Brendan Jackson on, and very excited to be sharing with you from just one of our recent podcasts. We chatted with him and talked about some things, so we'll kind of be picking up where we left off, and I think we've got lots to talk about. But how you doing, Brendan?
Oh, good, man. You know, we're just getting started into duck season here, which is, we run these tests and train all summer long. And, this is what we wait for.
Oh, so, I love it. Have you been out yet?
Yeah, no, we had a great opening day. Me and a buddy of mine, we got a two-man limit of birds, wood ducks, mallards, green-winged teal, and, we were a great day packing up, and, we're just threw all the birds in the bow of the boat. And then when we were back to the ramp, I said, man, we should throw these things on the game totes and take a picture. So I started divvying up birds between his strap and mine. And it was funny. I went to go grab the last wood duck, and I just went, oh my God. And he goes, what? And I turned around, I said, it's banded. neither of us saw it. It was crazy. And,
dang.
It was funny because I actually shot a gorgeous stud wood duck last year with a band, and Brant retrieved it for me, and that was like a highlight and something I'd always wanted. And just that morning we had been talking about bands and stuff, and he's killed goose bands, but he's like, I've never got a duck band.
Wow.
Never ever.
Wow.
And he shot three wood ducks. I shot two. I shot more teal than he did, and we weren't 100% sure, but I told him, I said, where that bird came from, because we recognized which one. I'm like, man, I 99.9% that bird is yours. Wow. We're not on straws or anything. You're taking that. Congratulations on your first thing.
Oh, dude, that's amazing. That is exciting.
That was awesome. And then we went out this past Saturday, and I had an idea of where I wanted to set up, and then we got out there and the wind was howling, and I second guessed myself. I said, oh, I'm going to set further back in this slough because I think they're going to want to get out of the wind. And that's just a reminder to always go with your gut instinct, because they landed 10 yards from where I was going to put the blind, and well out of shooting range of us. And man. But we ended up shooting a few teal before it was all said and done. So we didn't skunk. So we're off to a good start. And then I'm building, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah. So you're building a boat. Tell me about that. I have my dad and I, we took that project on a few years ago now, and that was quite the project, but it sounds like you're doing something kind of similar. Talk about that for a bit before we get into the whole dogs and everything.
Oh yeah. So you know, when I first got up here to New Hampshire, you know, I didn't bring a boat with me. And then I found a 14 foot by 60 wide, all weld alumicraft. I had a 25 Merc on it. And I mean, that boat did everything, man. I started my sea duck hunting career out of that thing.
Really?
So it saw backwater. It saw the ocean. I mean, during the summertime, I mean, I drove it 7 miles offshore. I was just,
that's insane.
And, oh yeah, no, and it was, you know, part of that. You got to know what you're doing out
How
there.
Wide is that boat?
So it was 60 inches wide.
Okay,
it was
okay.
It was a wider John boat, and it had high sides and everything, and it was more like a bay boat. But
okay,
I ended up when we went to buy our house, I ended up selling it, and you know, just to have more money in the bank and everything. And then afterwards, I regretted it, but
I bet.
Getting more into my sea ducking career. And then I ended up moving up to an 18 foot War Eagle. And then I ended up trading that and selling it. And, I ended up going to a 23 foot, Starcraft. And that was like my sea duck rig for the longest time. And then I ended up getting rid of it. Just kind of had no intentions of getting another boat. I said, you know, we're just going to hunt ponds and, you know, fields and, you know, rivers, stuff I can access us with the dogs and the kayak. And then out of nowhere, a buddy of mine had posted this all welded retriever series Crestliner from the 90s, a 12 foot wide all weld. And
man,
it was a crazy steal of a deal. And so I said, you know what, I'm gonna just kind of out of nowhere, super spontaneous, decided I was going to start building a little backwater rig to access all these swamps that I've looked at for years and had no way to get in there and shoot those ducks. And then I ended up, you know, I said, oh, I'm going to do this on a budget. Well, then budget turned into, I need to get the best long tail kit I can buy. And so now it's all out. I'm in the middle of, right now, right before we got on this, I was putting the motor together and hooking up the long tail kit. And I'm just about done with the painting, and then it's wiring everything in, and I'm hoping to, get the maiden voyage done on Sunday and, start getting into some of those places in the salt marshes out on the coast and these back sloughs on the river that I could never access before. So it's going to be pretty cool.
That's going to be sweet. Yeah. We ended up building one that we put a long tail on it, just a little flat bottom, and I like it. I think it'd have been nice if it was a little bit wider. Ours was a 15 by 42. So a little skinny. But it'll go. I mean, it's a perfect river boat. It'll go just in about anywhere you can run in like 2 inches of water. It's the real deal. You can get just about anywhere with it, but those long tail kits are pretty sweet.
If it floats, it'll go. That's the great thing about those little boats.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong on that. Well, since we've last talked, not only have you done the boat, but there's another pup, I believe, that got on there. It sounds like your wife may be even out there playing with that little pup right now.
Yeah. So we got another SOK pup. That's what you heard in the background. We picked up a moose and sox pup, kind of another spontaneous thing, super last minute. Somebody ended up having to back out and he became available, and it was literally a 5-minute conversation, a phone call to Bart, and I said, whatever, just send me the invoice before I think about it more. And he is incredible. We joke and say that he is a grown dog in a puppy body. I mean, he's so well behaved, and I mean, he's so smart, and you know, no accidents, very little fighting the crate, very content with just, you know, sitting there. And he goes to work with Christine, and he just lays in front of the puppy gate, and somebody walks by, he sits up, wags his tail, and if they don't give him any attention, he just lays back down. Awesome. He's Man. Got a great temperament. We're excited. And his dad's name was is it Moose Milk of Stauntonville, I believe, or Stauntonville Moose Milk. And we ended up naming him Badger. And so to play on Badger and to play on his father, we ended up naming him SOK's Milk and Honey.
Nice.
And so we're really excited about him. The first hunt test of next season starts usually the last week of May. And I think that's going to be perfect tight end to get him in for a starter test.
That's awesome. Yeah, he should be. He should be in a good spot by that. I remember when Barton first got Moose, we were actually hunting up there at Salt Plains. I believe I was actually, I don't know if I was on Moose's first hunt or one of his first hunts here in the U.S. But we did all right. We didn't smoke the birds by any means, but I will tell you, we did wing this one bird and it sailed a long, long, long way. So we went over there with Moose and Barton, and then it was this insane ravine, and he sent Moose over, and Moose was just, and honestly, he was pretty tight even for just basically getting off the plane. But we didn't pick the bird because we just didn't, we didn't know exactly where it was, but we hunted every little spot with that dog. Barton handled it in all the different spots. And, he was just very, very attentive, always paying attention to the handler, but also very, good on the hunt. So he's a great dog, and I think that's some nice pups. Even consider breeding Violet maybe on the next time, which I don't know. We might go back with Cedar again just because these pups are just so good. Cedar and Violet pups, they have just been phenomenal. So y'all are kind of in the same boat. I think they're pretty much the same age. Birdie, let's see, I guess 10 weeks, or born August 3rd. So they're about the same age right now, which is awesome.
Yeah, just about. That's cool. So. Yeah, big plans. I'm, I don't want to jinx anything, but, we'd love to see an HRCH on him one day.
It can be done. Put that vision in mind. Just make it a goal and go after it. That's what it's about. Just getting after it. Well, let's talk. Speaking of test, some of the conversations we had about, on our last podcast, and for the listeners out here, if you haven't heard that one, check it out. It's just a few podcasts ago, Brendan Jackson. You can check out his episode, but we talked about it. We had just finished up the member weekend in New York, which is awesome. As we're recording this podcast, we are just a couple of weeks out of the member weekend here in Alabama for fall 2022, but we had just wrapped that up, and that was an incredible time. Just absolutely enjoyed it. I know we had talked a little bit about some things that you had learned there, like slowing down, not getting in a rush, taking your time to make sure that you're connecting with the dog. And a plethora of other things that were just super valuable that, and some insight that you had shared that you had learned, which is just fantastic. But we, leading into that conversation, or as we wrapped up that conversation, it was really about, hey, you're prepping up for the next hunt test. Brant was pretty close at that point to getting what he needed to get. So let's pick up there and continue that story. What happened when we got off that podcast? You were prepping, training. Let's talk through all that, because I know we've kind of talked before this. There's some really good some good thoughts, some good insight for these listeners out here that may make a huge difference for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talked last, we were one pass short of our season title, and we had some things that we needed to work on as far as blind work and lining and things like that. And it was just inconsistent. I mean, he would have his awesome days, and then we would have not so awesome days. And then obviously, when you get to the test environment, everything is just, amplified. Those tiny little imperfections become, bigger issues on that stage. And, so the game plan was to, keep going through the, the motions, keep training, keep focusing on those things that we needed to work on. Cause he was spot on in every other aspect, but, I had these big plans. I posted like one or two videos, and I was planning on sharing our journey of training throughout the month and our progress from the members weekend to up to the test. And then I think my second or third training session in after the members weekend, we were training down by some water, and we had to climb down like this rock face over by a beaver dam. And I ended up slipping and falling, and I blew my ACL out for the third time. And, I was non-weight bearing for a little while, and had to wear a brace and couldn't really get around well once I was walking, and it just put a huge damper on training. I mean, we weren't doing much of anything, still doing like obedience and, what I could in the yard, but I couldn't carry wingers and plant 100-yard blinds or do any of that stuff. I didn't even want to risk walking out into a field and stepping into a hole and making it worse, because then my downtime is going to exponentially increase. So yeah, we didn't get really anything in, you know, and it just kind of came to a screeching halt. And, you know, I was already signed up for the test, and Christine was bringing Merck, and we went out to train one time the Thursday before the test weekend. And, you know, I said, I have no expectations. We're just going to run this thing. We're going to go have fun. And whatever happens, happens. We went out for our training session, and Brant executed every single thing that I asked him to do with pure perfection. I mean, zero flaws, everything down to the line. I mean, lining when I wanted to work on casting, took every cast exactly how it was supposed to be. I mean, he was just phenomenal, and I was just kind of taken back. And, you know, sometimes when you're running through an issue or something like that, or working on something, you'll get that, you know, that spectacular day that makes you feel, you know, super good and like, all right, we're getting somewhere. And then, you know, the next session, and you're kind of back to where you were, and it can cause some frustrations. And I, you know, but I said to myself, I was like, wow, if I get this dog this weekend, man, we're going to be in a good spot. And, I kind of right then and there, I started to think about it. I was like, man, he's had all this, you know, time off, and we just ran a perfect session. And typically what I would do, you know, leading up to a test, is I would try to get out there every day, you know, and even if it was just a super short session, working on one thing, like, all right, we're going to do a couple of cold blinds and we're going to go back, you know, we're going to go back home or whatever it be. And my first instinct would have been to, well, let's work again on Friday before the test and, you know, keep this ball rolling. And I stopped myself and I said, you know what? No, he had a great session. We're going to leave it at that. I'm going to let him rest a day before the long test weekend. And we're just going to go and see what happens. And come Saturday, I mean, he ran a test that failed more than half the flight, I think. And it was the best test he has ever run for me. Wow. I mean, perfect. I mean, and we had things that we encountered during the test that we do not get to train for, which, you know, is always a concern. So something that we don't get to practice a lot is entry into water, you know, exit onto land, back into the water on blinds and things like that. And we had that, you know, he had to cross this body of water. He had to get up on a chunk of land and then dive in, go into the cattails up against a tree line. And I'm sitting here looking at this thing like, well, I guess we'll be one bird short of a pass again. And I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, he nailed it. The judges were impressed at how well he took that blind and
wow,
and everything. And no, we ended up titling on Sunday or Saturday. And
wow,
you know, that was my goal, and super happy, got the ice bucket and everything. And I was already signed up for Sunday, and finish was pretty full, and Christine was still running Sunday with Merck and season. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to run the next test just for fun. And he ended up passing Sunday as well with another great, you know, great test. And I'm like, you know, the gears started turning in my head, and it's like, you know, I get, you know, you're preparing for something, or you're working through an issue, and like you're like, we got to train. We got to get as many reps in as we can, you know. And sometimes, you know, that break is what's actually needed. And you got, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you got the guy who is, you know, having to take a break because he's got too much going on in his life and stressing out like crazy. Oh, we're going to fall behind. And I mean, little does he know that it might actually help in the long run.
Absolutely. Dude, that is awesome. I am so excited for you guys that you titled that. I mean, that's huge. I mean, I know that's a great feeling too. And that was so when you called me and you talked to me about that, I was like, oh, here we go. Here's another good lesson learned. And it's just one of those really good ones that it's so funny, like in dog retriever training, you have like things, a lot of times the simplest solution is like almost contrary to what you think you should do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I try to tell people a lot that, you know, training is not black and white, it's gray. And it's like a river. It just flows and you just kind of got to go with it. And it all works itself out in the end, assuming that you're, in your case, right? You know, you're using Cornerstone, you're going through the right fundamentals, you're doing everything you need to do, which is working on things that actually matter, the most beneficial, the foundational things, the key things. Now, if you're out there just grabbing straws, just doing whatever videos you find on the internet, just bouncing all over the place, then, you know, this rule, this going with the flow may not actually help you that much. But taking your time to do like you've done, you're doing it right. And then when you take a break like that, you've prepared him and he knew that what to do, which is just amazing how it, I think also that break kind of probably built a little bit of trust between you and your brand. Because like if you're, you know, in the previous times, if you're leading up to the test and you're like, you're stressing, thinking that you're barely going to pass or you're not going to pass or you're scared because sometimes it's hit or miss, that dog can honestly sense that fear and lack of trust. And when it senses that, you know, it doesn't perform as good. But in your case, like you pretty much were forced to stop and forced to not worry. Like you, at this point, you got to a point where like, well, I didn't get to train like I wanted to. So I'm already in this thing, you know, let's just throw off all the expectations and not worry about it. And in Brant's eyes, he saw that you're not worried about it and he could sense that. And that gave him confidence in you because, you know, dogs, they can read you, they read your emotions. And, you know, we don't really like the whole pack leader saying here at Cornerstone too much, because I think a lot of people misunderstand that and think, yes, Oh, I've got to be the alpha, I got to be the leader. Well, the thing about leaders are, you don't necessarily, you know, you don't lead through intimidation or through just forcing things to happen. You lead through confidence. And, you know, there are times where you have to be a little stern, but most leadership is done best through leading from the front, leading through confidence. And I think that that's, you know, a big thing that maybe Brant, you know, I'm just speculating here on why everything went so perfectly smooth, other than the fact that you've done the training you need to. But I firmly believe that Brant probably sensed that confidence and lack of worry. And when you have that laid back, you know, disposition about yourself, the dog knows it.
Yeah, I would completely agree that it was a culmination of things. You know, definitely the kind of stress and anxiety factor was definitely down. And, you know, I did go into it with that, you know, we're just going to roll with the flow, whatever happens, happens. But of course, when you step to that line, you know, even if you tell yourself that, you can still feel it a little bit. And mm-hmm. I felt it coming on. And, you know, it was only for, I don't know, a few moments, but I could see in Brant's eyes that he picked up on that elevated heart rate of mine, even if it was only for a moment. And I immediately said, you know, to myself, take a deep breath, relax. And it was so crazy. I mean, I don't think people realize how in tune with us our dogs are, especially when you do have a strong bond. And because when I closed my eyes, took that breath and just kind of settled into myself, it was like you could almost see it on Brant's face just come down off of that elevated, you know,
wow,
excitement just as quickly. And I mean, I guess that's what you strive for in the long run, is you want to be a fluid unit, you know, a team. And 100% agree with you on terms of leadership. And it just goes back to us and our careers and, you know, what we do for, you know, a living, where I say, you know, you can be a leader or you can be a boss. And when you're working with your dog, you're right, you do need to be a leader. I think it was that. And, you know, that training and constantly going at it, you know, sometimes I think what happens and we don't realize it is that when we're worried about a particular thing, like where I was, where I'm like, everything, I'm not sweating anything else, you know, but we still, you know, threw in marks and, you know, all the other stuff and everything. You don't want to hyper fixate on just training one thing or the other things fall apart. But when you're trying to address a problem, especially when you're like, okay, this isn't working, let me try this. And you're doing different things and, you know, your buddy will say, well, I did this. And then you try that. And in the long run, you might even just be making it worse.
Yeah.
And you know, you're hyper fixating there. And again, the dog is feeding off of that, but you may not go about things the way that it really should be done, or, you know, the frustration in general, just while you're out there and your dog's, you know, you're given the wrong cues and signals and things like that. And I mean, the taking a break is not a bad thing. And, you know, it's like hitting the reset button. So something that, and even before, like, you know, when I say we were training, you know, it's not like I brought him out there 7 days a week, you know, he got breaks and everything. We had days off and all that, but, I mean, he's a dog that I could bring him out there 7 days a week and he'd be raring to go every single time. You know, that dog has no quit. But whenever we would have something just go completely sideways and fall apart and just have a bad day, you know, I think a lot of people's first thought is, you know, we're going to get right back up on that horse and try again tomorrow. Where I, on the other hand, would say we're going to take a couple of days off, you know, maybe three or four. And to me, it's like hitting the reset button and, you know, just starting fresh. And, you know, those doubts will kind of linger more towards the back of their mind if you have a problem or anything like that, you know, and let them get more comfortable, let the confidence come back. And I think that was a big thing for Brand is, you know, he would get like a couple of days off here and there, but, you know, what we, him or I, you know, didn't realize was that he needed, you know, maybe he's a dog that needs a longer break than that.
Yeah.
You know, even dogs that are professional trainers and stuff, they go home, you know, they get vacations, you know, everybody needs a break from work. And,
absolutely.
You know, I guess my main point is, you know, don't get discouraged. And, you know, if you don't get a chance to train, or if you feel like you're hitting a wall, take that long break, just go be with your best friend and go have fun, you know, take a walk, go on a trip, do some fun stuff. Just, you know, put it down for a minute, you know, think of it as like a spring break or a summer vacation or something. And then, you know, take some time off and kind of find your center again, and then try again. And I think that a lot of people who are, you know, really frustrated or worried about something like this are going to be pleasantly surprised. You know, if I think a lot of dogs will respond well to that. And, you know, and it's not you know, it's not going to hurt you to give it a shot if you're, you know, you're up against that wall and you feel like nothing else is working.
Yeah.
Take a break.
You know, a lot of people too. So like, and I see it with members and I see it with non-members. Like, you know, I'm on a lot of different Facebook groups and I see a lot of different things going on out there. And I see a lot of people hitting problems and then they start trying to solve the problem. Now I'm a firm believer in hitting things head on. Don't get me wrong. I'm a driver. I'm a direct kind of dude. And I really like to get to the point a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome when you can, but what I have learned with my dogs is they're different. And it's, sometimes to get to the point, you have to step back, like you're saying, take that break. And I think it's more of a recognizing the stage that you're at, you know, so there are certain times where pushing through makes sense to working through a problem. But I loved what you said on how, you know, normally you would get back out. All right, well, I see this. Let's fix this tomorrow. You know, and you leave the training session and you come ready gung ho to fix the problem, you know, But when you step back and you take time and you get the understanding that you need, it makes a world of difference. And instead of just fixating on the problem, like you said, it's almost like the more worried about something you become, you know, the more fixated you become on it, the worse the problem gets. It's like an overbearing parent, or when you're just overbearing, just putting all this pressure on them, they can feel it. And it actually has the opposite effect of what you want. But when you have that constant flow of relationship back and forth, instead of, you know, worrying about things, it's just so much better. And that connection gets better. The dogs do better. I was, you know, talking to somebody the other day and I was like, you know, in the moment they were telling me they were having a trouble with certain things and they were, you know, unsure about the choices they made with their dog, or they didn't make any decision because they didn't want to make the wrong decision. And I was like, hey, look, when you're in the moment, be decisive, make a decision, whether it's right or wrong. You can think about it when you're out. you know, when you're not training your dog. And if you make the wrong decision, the cool thing is about dogs, they're just so forgiving. So if you make the wrong decision, you know, you haven't ruined your dog. You know, they teach us a lot about life, and we got to be the same way with them too. So, you know, they give us a lot of grace. Let's give our dogs a lot of grace too. And then that really just frees you up when you, when you're not holding, you know, worried about things, it just frees you to have a good time. And then it's like things just gel and click. It's just crazy. So, I mean, I love what you're saying here, just how you took that time off more than you thought you needed. And all of a sudden you like come back and like, well, what on earth, you know, happened? You know, we're doing even better now. And it's just, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it comes full circle to what we talked about as well, you know, on the last podcast where, you know, trusting your dog.
Yep.
And having faith in your dog. And, you know, you're sitting here saying to yourself, well, if we don't keep on this, you know, we're going to lose all this progress and everything. And, you know, I was pleasantly surprised that I'm like, he retained every little thing that I taught him, and you just need to have more faith in him, you know. Yeah. And we always talk about, you know, like the break thing. And you said, you know, sometimes it pays to power through something. Sometimes it pays to take a step back. And, you know, I think, you know, CGA is, you know, one of the common sayings is train the dog in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, every situation is going to be different. But if it's like we said, you know, if it's something that you haven't tried and you're just at that point, give it a shot, try something like that, take that break, you know, take that step back. It's just as much for you as it is for the dog. And you'd be surprised at how much it actually helps, you know, calming yourself down, you know, just easing back into it. You take that extended period of time off, and when you come back, you're going to be thinking about, okay, you know, what was I doing before that may have been a problem? You know, I'm, you know, too quick to stop them, or not quick enough, or, you know, I'm not giving the right, you know, signal, or I'm moving too quick, or whatever it be. And just ease back into it, you know, slowly, and say, okay, I think before I was, you know, moving my hands too fast, and that was a constant problem. Let me try being mindful and slowing down. And, you know, it washes all that stress away, I guess. You just got to make sure, don't amp yourself back up, you know, be worried when you come back from your break. Just go with the flow. Let's see what happens. Let's see what it did, you know, and no expectations. And you might be blown away like me. You know, I learned that Brant'll show me every time that he wants to go out. Doesn't matter how much we work. And just because that dog is sitting at the door, or, you know, he jumps up because he sees you grab the lead or something like that, you know, he doesn't know he needs a break, maybe, you know, and that's it. So, you know, I mean, and I guess that was part of it for me. It's like, oh, he's ready to go. He wants to go. I got to go. We got to do this. And then, but, you know, and if I felt bad, he was constantly coming up to me, you know, he'd grab a, you know, a Kong or something like that, or I'd go to, you know, hobble over to the door to let him outside with, you know, on my crutches, and he would pick up a bumper or something like that. Just like, I'm like, oh, man, you're killing me, buddy. I'm sorry. I can't get out there right now. And so, you know, it's just, like I said, give it a shot. It's not going to hurt anything, you know, and it might be the best thing for you in the moment.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that too, like you mentioned other people that busy with work, whatever it may be, you know, there's a certain pressure when you pay money for a dog and you have this dream and idea of what you want it to turn out to. And there's like this fear of like letting your dog down, right? You know, maybe you were feeling that at that time.
I definitely was feeling that.
Yeah.
You know, anytime that you got to take that sabbatical, I think that guilt kind of always washed over me, you know, where it's like, I'm letting them down, you know, and you feel bad, and that just makes it even worse. And I think I was kind of forced to think differently about it this time, because I wanted to get out there, but I physically couldn't. I had to come to terms with the fact that this, you know, it's out of my hands. And then I just kind of let it go. And I said, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen, and we'll address whatever that is when we get back on our feet.
Yep.
And, you know, that's it. You know, just let go of that tension that you got built up, because, you know, all comes back. That dog is feeding off of that. Even when you're not training, he feels that you are anxiety stricken. He feels that you're stressed out. He feels that you're worried. And then you step back up to the plate, and you still got that feeling because you're worried about what's about to happen. And you just let it go. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it's just take that deep breath, and you know, you've got all the time in the world ahead of you. And, you know, there's no timeline. There's no time punch or anything like that. There's no, you know, specific, you know, milestone that you need to hit by this age or anything. You know, it's every dog is different.
Yeah.
And you know, as long as you both put the work in together and, you know, you keep that mindset and everything, you will get there eventually. You might not get there in a month, you know, if that's your goal or whatever, but you know, just keep the faith and, you know, follow the regiment, follow the program, and it will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Words of advice. I love that. And you know, just want to reiterate too, right, that, and something that you were saying there made me think, I was thinking about the dog, right, you know, and that fear of letting them down. But the truth is, you know, it's so funny. Like we live in a society where we're very driven. We're very focused. It's about accomplishment. And that's just the society we live in. But the dogs don't live in that society. They live in their world. They live in a dog's world. In a dog's world, success is not defined as getting your titles. It's not defined as running a perfect run. Success is defined for them by they just have fun everywhere they go. Yeah, they just enjoy the process. And even like success for them is sitting by the couch, not doing anything. And success for them is the same thing as at the same time as going out with their handler and doing some training sessions. So, you know,
100%.
That's just
we got to keep in mind why we do this to begin with.
Yes.
Why do we have dogs? Why do we waterfowl hunt? Why do we do tests and everything? We do it because we love it.
Yep.
It's not a job that we're forced to go do, you know, just to put money on the table. This is a passion and a hobby of ours, a lifestyle. And when you get stressed out, you know, something that as time has gone on that I've, you know, learned and, you know, have to remind yourself and just be mindful of is don't forget why you got that dog to start with. Don't forget why you're training that dog. Don't forget, you know, what your end goal is. And, you know, you got to remember you're doing this because you love it and you're doing it to have fun and beating yourself up over, you know, worrying about something. I mean, that's not fun. You're being counterintuitive at that point. And, no, you just, that's it. You gotta remember why you said, yes, I want this dog. Remember why you saved up all that money. You know, think about all those, you know, those ideas you had in your head, you know, while you're waiting for your puppy to get home. Man, he's going to be my best buddy and we're going to have so much fun together. And, you know, that's the goal in the end. And
that's what it's about.
I think we get so worried about things sometimes that we forget about all that.
Man, such good life lessons. I love dogs. It's such a blessing to have dogs. You know, I've learned a lot through them and they still teach me every day. Same for, you know, people and relationships with people. It's really just cool. And I'm just, you know, I want to take a second to brag on you, brag on our members. You know, it's really just cool to have these types of conversations with people that have, you know, followed in our footsteps, followed our program, right? And we don't pretend like we know everything, but we do our very best to bring the best of everything that we can so that everybody else can do something. But when you have conversations like this, it's just such good reminders because even at where I'm at and where Barton's at and you know, the levels that we're at, it's easy to forget those things too. So these types of conversations are just really good reminders. This, you know, stay focused on the end goal, stay focused on what matters, but also, you know, keep doing it and just have a good time with what we're doing. So I'm excited. So y'all have got multiple dogs through the program now at this point, which is so cool.
So, Christine,
how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. We're having great deep conversations about dogs. I'll tell you what, fantastic.
Fine.
So Christine just hopped on. This is an awesome surprise for the podcast. How are you feeling about this new pup?
he's gonna be something. That dog, other than being stolen by all the specialists at work, and I have to go find him when it's time to leave, he's the chillest dog, and he's so smart already. It's been like a week. He's had one accident, and that's because he's so good, I forgot that he was in my office.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome. And that was it. He doesn't whine. He doesn't fuss. He's just here to have a good time, and that's it. So he's going to be fun.
Yeah. He definitely reminds us a little bit of Merc when he was a pup, where he wants to say hi to everybody, and he's got we call it the FOMO, the fear of missing out. He will not sit still right now. You know, it's everything is super cool, and I got to go do this, and I got to say hi to the, you know, four people in the room in 15 seconds. And he is tons of fun. He's already 15 pounds.
Yeah.
He's going to be a beast.
That's going to be a big, nice pup. He's going to should be built out well. He's going to have a good demeanor about him, I would say. That's it's always good when you get a pup like that. You know, with this pup too that I've got, same thing, no accidents or any of that, and it's just been, you know, for the most part quiet. Last night she did get up at random. I think a neighbor must have made some noise. She randomly barked at like 2:30. So I was like, well, what on earth is this? So I walk in there, and then she just went back to sleep. So
I don't think we've gotten up once in the middle of the night to let this guy out.
That's amazing.
No, we really haven't. I mean, I get up at 4:00. And I let him out then, you know, we go to bed 9, 10 o'clock, something like that. It's, you know, but that's still, I mean, it's a period of 6 hours sometimes where he's, you know, and we're listening for him, but he's just sleeping away. Perfectly
very much
content.
The opposite of Merc.
Yeah.
Merc was a screamer. He still is a screamer. That was our first update from the trainer was, so he screams. He took a week to adjust at the kennel there. And then they went to train dogs and didn't put Merc in the truck. And he got a call from the neighbor. Do you got a dog dying or something in there? He's real upset.
That's that FOMO for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was hurt that he wasn't going with him.
He does not like to be left out.
Yeah. So we actually, you know, Christine just mentioned the trainer. So we got a really good friend up in Maine, and he does training and tests full time, and he's got some grounds down south. So when it's a barren wasteland up here and there's too much ice and snow to do anything, he's going down there and you know, continuing training, running tests that we don't get the opportunity because there's not many that were in driving range up here, and we got to go hunting with him one time. Merc got to pick up some geese, you know, he got to have a big break, kind of like what we just talked about, you know, just a pause and a little vacation. And, you know, our friend, he is he's a big proponent of giving dogs a break too. That's every good. Once in a while. He'll be coming back home, right before Christmas, and, he'll spend some more time with us, but he had that, you know, break, got to be home with his family for quite a while. And, just brought him back, and I just got a text earlier today that says, you know, if he keeps progressing like he is, he may be running a master test in December. And I mean, he's three passes away from his senior right now in AKC, and one pass away from his HR, and we're already talking about master titles. And I mean, that's in master passes. That's awesome.
We weren't planning on doing that until spring was, I think, the earliest we all thought he'd be ready for it. And that break it did it good for him. So,
yeah,
here we are. That's
good.
Example B.
I'll tell you what, those driven pups like that, they are, you know, they're borderline, you know, all dogs that are driven like that are borderline crazy. But once you put that work in and you get them under control, they're nearly unstoppable and they can just move.
100%. No, and it's, he's definitely, you know, I think we've heard from other folks of that pairing that, you know, they are phenomenal dogs. But everybody has, you know, the dogs are hitting like the 3-year-old mark right now. And, you know, people that, you know, had those struggles because of just, you know, their fire breathing dragons, they're hot dogs.
Yeah.
And, but everybody, I think, you know, is starting to say like this dog is really coming into his own. And I guess that's another point to touch base is, you know, some people go, oh man, my dog's 2 years old and we still can't do this and all that, but some dogs just pick things up later on in life. Absolutely. And they take longer to mature, and be patient and trust that dog. You're going to get there.
Farley didn't point until he was what, 3?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It just, you know, I think a lot of times, like, we all want everything to fit in a box nice and tidy, but you just have to get outside of the box. Like, you just can't, everything's different. Every dog's different. And, you know, if you force it into a box, it's not working. Like, if you try to fit everything on your timeline, that's when things go wrong. But if you step out, like y'all, you know, like you're saying, take the break, take your time. It's amazing. That's like, it just like unlocks doors that were shut and that you just were trying to open, but you just couldn't do it.
Right.
Just need to train the dog in front of you.
Yeah, we just talked about that earlier, actually. Yeah.
Got that saying from me.
Yeah.
What's next for you guys? Just y'all are probably working with this new pup you've got. You're continuing branch training. You've got Merc off with the trainer. What's next for this pup? Where are y'all at? Have y'all started the training yet? Or I forget how old are you, 10 weeks? Or have y'all just done just house stuff?
Yeah. Only been here, what, a full week?
Yeah,
full
he's only week. Been here okay. a week. So we're still very much in like the letting him adjust, acclimate, you know, and just socialization with the other dogs and perfect. Things like that. We are, you know, we're working on, you know, recall and things like that, and you know, a little bit of place and sit. You know, we're not introducing the verbal command yet. We're just, you know, getting that, you know, sit still, sit your butt on the ground, you know, and then getting that association started. But yeah, no, we're just going to keep on plugging away. You know, we'll unfortunately get that long pause in winter. But we've got the whole basement cleared out now where we can do some, we have a little more room to stretch our legs down there and, do some training inside.
That's good.
We'll do some genetic testing and everything, get the ball rolling and, get him, hopefully, his chick number like Merc has.
Yep.
And, we're, you know, keep plugging away. Hunting season's upon us. So the real fun starts, and Brant's going to be, you know, getting his retrieves in. And, you know, we got the GSP, the pointer puppy, that he's, you know, now's the time to really just start getting him wild bird exposure and get him to learn, you know, that he needs to lock on to that point, you know, let him kick up those birds and learn that he can't get too close and
he can follow Barley.
Yeah. And, we're going in a million different directions, but we're having fun.
Hey, that's the main thing, having fun with it. Well, man, I appreciate having you on this podcast. I'm sure we'll have you on again since you got so many dogs and now we got lots of updates to do.
Yeah, we're capped. Five at a time till we get the new place.
And get a commercial kennel license. Yep.
Well, that's good stuff. Well, I appreciate having y'all on, and I'm glad Christine hopped on and got to chat for a minute, which has been great. And, you know, just really, really enjoy what we talked about. And yeah, I appreciate you guys. So any closing thoughts, any final thoughts for the listeners out there from either of you guys?
No, just stay the course. Don't forget to have fun. Don't forget why you started doing it to begin with. And, you know, don't beat yourself up over the little things. It's okay to take a step back and, you know, just stick to the program and, you'll get there. We'll all get there one day.
Yeah.
Just keep the faith.
Keep the faith. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that saying. That's a good one. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Build From Here podcast. To learn more about retriever training or our podcast, visit cornerstonegundogacademy.com/podcast.